want to hear it. If you don't know the translation of the words, I don't even know what kavana would mean. I can't imagine how it's possible to intend deeply connect to something if you don't know what you're saying. And therefore, if you don't know the words, I would get a linear, get the above, I would translate, I would sit down and write down, this word means this, this word means this. If you don't know the translation of the words, I can't imagine what kavana would look like. Number two, which is similar but slightly different. If you don't know what the paragraph themes are about, even if you can translate the words, but they don't add up to sentences and themes and paragraphs, I can't imagine how you would think. If you're saying slach lanu and you don't realize you're asking God for forgiveness, even if you can translate every word, that's not helpful. I strongly encourage, tip number one, know the words. Tip number two is give each paragraph a word, a sentence, a theme. We're asking for knowledge. Hashiveinu avinu l'sar sachu, we want to draw close to you. Shlach lanu and be forgiven. Re'en avanyenu, geula. What is that even all about, geula? It's not Mashiach, that's like the rest have. Geula is about, yeah, no problem. Geula is about, just so you should know, the world should be the way it should be. Things should be under control. Things should be made right. That's what geula is about. Long, in any event, tip number one, know the translation of the words. Tip number two, know the themes of the paragraph. What's the first theme of Kriya? What's the first paragraph Shema all about? What's the second one? Tip number three. Number three. And this one speaks to me a lot. It requires patience. I'll be honest. I'm not always patient enough to dive in the right way. Maybe I shouldn't be so honest. I'm an honest person. I love shuckling to the beat. Hashem, Sifasai, Tiftach, Ufi, Yagid, Tilasakha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu. You follow that? One shuckle to the word. It takes a little time. I feel the odds of me going into autopilot, which sometimes I catch myself doing in davening, are so much less when I'm shuckling one shuckle to the word. I feel like I'm into each word. Then I get a little impatient. Slach lanu. Avinu ki chatanu. And I kind of lose it a little bit. I'm not always as patient as I could be or should be. I think shuckling to the beat is great. Is great. Try it. If it works for you, great. If not, okay. It works for me. Wonders when I'm patient enough. I'll add in another tip. Tip number four. You're going to laugh? Maybe you will. I don't know. I love singing when I'm diving to myself. It could be the wrong song. Sometimes it's even a secular song. Like I'm singing in my mind, whatever song I have, into whatever part of Shemoneh Esrei I'm up to. I feel significantly more connected to the words of Tefillah and to the Rabbonu Shel Olam when I'm singing than when I'm whispering. Don't be afraid to sing to yourself. Don't be afraid to sing Slach Lanu. You know, you're Zakeni Legadol in your mind. Sing out Slach Lanu to that tune. Whatever the tune is. When you sing to yourself, you feel more in rhythm as well. The words resonate more. The themes resonate. Anyhow, quickly, number one, know the words. Number two, know the paragraphs. Number three, I love shuckling to the word. Number four, feel free to sing. Number five, I heard this in the name of one of the Chassidish rabbis, don't remember which one. If, let's say, you really have something important on your mind and you can't focus on davening, don't be afraid to stop davening. Think through whatever you want to think through and daven afterwards. If you're thinking about your basketball game, you can push it aside, great. If you're not going to be successful pushing it aside, wait a few seconds. Think about the basketball game, and then daven when you're ready. And if you think, hashkafically, that's not the right thing to do, I'm not saying lechadchila do it, but I think if the choice is, say the words while thinking about the basketball game versus stopping and waiting patiently, the Chassidim HaRishon used to take an hour to prepare themselves for davening. They take an hour to daven. I don't know what they did in that hour. Even shuckling 10 shuckles to a word doesn't get you an hour. If you have to stop and take a few seconds to prepare yourself, tell yourself, I'm not yet ready to finish davening. I don't want to disrespect davening by not thinking about things carefully. I want to take a few seconds, clear my mind, and if that's the only way I know to clear my mind, think about the basketball game, think about the stock, think about your homework, think about everything about. I'm ready to finish that. One or two more quick ones, then we'll go into a couple of Perish Hamim and Perish Hatfila type of things. One or two more quick ones. Obviously, if the Chassidim HaRasham took an hour, most of us don't have 9 hours a day to spend davening. Maybe we should. If we spend a few seconds, I'm about to stand before the Rabbonu Shel Olam, before davening, maybe every few brachos in Shmoneh Esrei, every few minutes, kind of just, I want to realize I'm not just whispering to myself, I'm talking to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. Before davening, a few second break in the middle, just reminding yourself of that, I find very beneficial, I find very worthwhile. I strongly encourage people to try it. There's two types of kavana. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a beautiful piece. It's a second Rav Chaim on the Rambam. One is about Perish Hamilim, know the translation of the words. There's a whole other value of davening, which is if I don't know what I'm saying, I just know I'm talking to God, that's called kavana as well. At least you have that second element. Okay. I'm in 8 minutes. In Mirtz Hashem, the next 12 minutes, I'll share two or three divrei Torah about davening that'll hopefully afford you the opportunity of understanding tefillah a little more. I want to talk about first Moda Ani, which showed you a beautiful insight. Then I want to talk about Shmoneh Esrei. If you have time, we'll talk about the first bracha. If you have more than that, we'll go through a little more. A beautiful, beautiful idea by Moda Ani. This changes my Moda Ani whenever I think about it, which is not as often as it should, but significantly more than it was. My style is to be honest. Just to translate briefly, Moda Ani means Moda, I am thankful or admit. That's right, the word Hodah. And by the way, it could be those ideas are linked. It's not just by chance. In order to thank someone, you have to recognize and admit that you owe them a thank you. So Moda Ani lefanecha, I'm Moda before you. Melechai v'kayam, too. To God. Why? And here comes the part I want to focus in upon. Two parts. One is Shechazar Tabi Nishmasi. What does that mean?
Turn my soul.
I mean, that requires some thought, because did you really lose your neshama? Well, tricky, because I wasn't really dead. No one thinks sleeping is dead. On the other hand, there's something that awakened conscious awareness has. It does require us to ask what exactly a neshama is, and the amount of time I've allocated myself doesn't let me discuss it properly, but let's just translate it into Shama for a moment as awareness of your consciousness. You're conscious, you're thoughtful, and you're aware of that. When you're sleeping, you're not aware of your consciousness. You're not in control of your consciousness. Even if you're dreaming, like all of a sudden you're on a fire truck, and then maybe you're flying in the sky, and then you're with some friends, like there was all gaps in between, and you don't know how you went from like one scene to the next, but that doesn't bother you. At least my dream, like, you know, you just, here I am. Like you're not really in control of your consciousness. And yes, anyhow, Shechazar Tabi Nishmasi, you've given me control over my consciousness. And here's what I really want to focus on. Bechemla means with
mercy.
Compassion, Rahmanis, mercy. You've done me a huge favor, Bechemla. Rabba emunasech, what does that mean? A lot of faith. But if you're good at dictum, emunasecha means what?
Your faith.
The question is, who does God believe in? Himself, me, what does that mean? So Rav Kook explains beautifully. The fact that you woke up today means God believes in you. The fact that you've given me consciousness over my neshama, life, existence. The fact that you've woken me up today means, A, I didn't do anything to deserve it, b'chemla. But number two is, Rabba emunasecha, you must have a lot of faith in me. You must believe that there are great things I can accomplish because you didn't give me life, koach, energy, and potential mistakenly. And if you've given me koach to do something great, well, that's empowering. The way a Jew wakes up is a synthesis of Hakaras HaTov and empowered to accomplish a great challenge and do great things. Rabba Emuna Sechad, people who struggle with self-worth and self-confidence, here's a powerful idea. God believes you are worthwhile enough to wake up every morning. He must believe something great for you. Modani. Next little part. You ready? In all of Judaism, there are two types of brachos. Barachat Hashem, right to the point, Hazanat HaKol. Barachat Hashem, Chonei Hadas. Barachat Hashem, Gal Yisrael. Barachat Hashem, I don't know what. Quick. And then there's a longer Matbeah HaBaracha. Barachat Hashem, Elokeinu. Melech Olam, Brain of Hashem, Shrabos, Vechesronon. Barachat Hashem, Zonazam, Lahavik, Nershal Shabbos. Brain of Hashem, Shachol, Nibir Parah. It's a lot of brachos. Every brach in the world falls under one of those two categories with one exception. What's that? Shmon Esrei. Shmon Esrei starts off Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, but does not continue with. And rather, it's Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Av Nitzan Yaakov, etc. One may wonder why did Chazal say Melech Olam is so great in general, and why is that not appropriate for Shmon Esrei, and why is Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu more appropriate? There's a discussion in Halacha. Could you even have a bracha melech without ha'olam? Tosis the Rush, they discuss it. You can take a look at brachos on Daf Nun. Right. My question is not halachically, how could you do it? But once you know how you could do it, why would Chazal deviate from the classic Matbeah HaBracha and have an alternative text? Okay. You can imagine two of my little children were once fighting. Is God only belong to Jewish people or belong to the whole world? What's the answer?
Both.
I think both. On the one hand, the whole world is true. On the other hand, there's a uniqueness that Klal Yisrael have. We're kind of his nation, he's our God. That duality, that tension, that oxymoronic perspective is captured in the phrase Melech Ha'olam. I'm sorry, Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Elokeinu means he's what? Our God. Melech Ha'olam means he's what? The real answer is both. On the one hand, he's Elokeinu. On the other hand, he's what? That's true and great for all brachos in the world except for one. Which one not? The first brach of Shmon Esrei. The first brach of Shmon Esrei is all about the closeness, the warmth. He's only Elokeinu, he's not Melech Ha'olam right now. And what do we replace Melech Ha'olam with? Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's kind of like we have the first brach of Shmon Esrei, it's like we have a monopoly on God, he's close and tight, he's with us. Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov's individuals. The Gra used to explain that the phrase Melech Ozer Moshiach Magen, Ozer, he helps us. When we fight for ourselves, he's Ozer. When we remain parts, he saves us, Mashiach. And when we endanger ourselves, he even protects us, Magin, like a shield. All levels, God's with us. The first bracha Shmon Esrei is the closeness, the warmth, the care, the intimacy. I'm not whispering to myself. I'm talking to the God of my family, of my others. Bracha number two is the exact opposite. We mentioned Tchias HaMeisim five times just to capture that incredible, unsurmountable, unbridgeable, infinite gap. Means God, who is like you? And the answer is no one. It's a rhetorical question. We don't know anyone who is like, it's not like my good friend Fred. Right? We don't know who's like God. No one. Lamashal, for 1 second, bear with me. We are right now in a room of, I don't know, 100 people. Part of a country of about 8, 9 million. Part of a world of about 8 billion. You take all those 8 billion people, they can all fit in Israel, and they can jump 10 feet in each direction, and they won't hit each other. And Israel's a fraction of the Middle East, which is a fraction of Asia, which is a fraction of the landmass, which is a third of the land versus water. You multiply that by 3, you get the dot in Jupiter. You multiply 150, you get the entire planet of Jupiter. You multiply by 1 million, you get not even the sun. You multiply that by a billion one star bigger. You multiply that a trillion one star bigger. You multiply a quadzillion one star bigger. And there are billions of stars in each galaxy and billions of galaxies. It's inspiring just how small we are, because the universe is greater than that. That's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of nothing to the Roshlo. The second bracha is, I know you were listening to me, God, but I also realize I don't realize who you are. You're God. And that tension, that paradox, on the one hand, the closeness. On the other hand, the distance. On the one hand, you're with us. On the other hand, you're removed. Is exactly the relationship we talk about when we interact with God, and the resolution is found in the third bracha. Atah Kadosh v'Shem Kadosh, you're separate, removed, full of Kedusha, but nonetheless, Ukdoshim b'chol yom yom, it's our job to praise you every single day. It's our job to bring godliness, spirituality, Kedusha into this world. The greatest praise we have for God is defining our relationship with Him, which is God. We realize that you're above and beyond, but you love us and interact with us. Atah Kadosh v'Shemcha Kadosh, but nonetheless, Ukdoshim b'chol yom tzera, it's our job to sanctify your name in this world, and that's why we say Kedusha, which is Nikadesh et Shemcha Me'olam. But not any old breath. The best way possible. Kishem Shemak Kishem Osot, like the angels do. And that's why, as Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, we're not just quoting the angels, we're mimicking them, standing on our tiptoes if to rise ourselves up to Shanai. The opening three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and this will conclude, are designed to help define our relationship with God. You're the God of our fathers, you're the family God, and we feel so close to you, simultaneously we recognize the infinite distance. And the relationship we have is one of, we realize that the world cannot grasp your glory. It cannot possibly contain it. But it's our job to bring as much sanctity, kedusha, godliness, spirituality, and Torah into the world as much as we possibly can. It's our job to be the Kadesh HaShemcha B'Olam. Have a good night.